gentlemen, it's call time, and on the phone, I have just called Matt and Eddie. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Hey.
Wow, that's
I thought this was an episode.
Yeah, this is an episode. This isn't a call time. This is the three of us.
It's not a call time?
No.
But I just called you guys.
Oh. Hey, yeah. Overweight Larry has a nice fan page.
Hey,
fuck,
you know...
Fuck Overweight Larry.
All right, you want to get into it? I was going to say, okay, let's do a proper intro then, but whatever. So we could get right into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, Matt, how was your day?
Wrestling talk.
And talk about Matt's interesting day.
I'm pizza.
I'm Overweight Larry.
No, I'm Overweight Larry, you fucker.
I'm Overweight Larry, too.
And I'm Gideon here.
I'm Kanza.
Bro, that fucking interview was hysterical.
I'm Dante.
I'm Dante.
I'm very dainty and I don't like to fight.
Fucking amazing show.
It was
stop laughing.
It really was a good one.
It was hysterical, man. Back-to-back weeks with those guys, just fucking riotous. It's unbelievable.
I know. Did you hear the bad news?
What's that?
That their tag team title match this month has been canceled because there's something wrong with the building.
I guess they don't have enough Sopranos DVDs to hold up the foundation anymore.
I thought maybe someone found the DVDs.
Asbestos.
Probably. We're all going to die. Well, Jamie and I are going to die because we went to the first show.
Maybe they'll clean it up as best as they can before the show starts.
I'm from the 17th century, and I'm Kanza.
I'm going to stick a thumb in your arse.
My arse.
Impersonation is terrible.
They called Overweight Larry a little fat bastard.
Your fucking Overweight Larry Facebook page is racist as fuck, by the way.
No, it's not. It's taken off like wildfire, sir.
Yeah, it has all 14 likes.
Overweight. No, it's up to 21.
Oh, good.
It's fucking 21 people that need to be fucking taken out back behind the shed, old Yeller style.
Dude, Overweight Larry is Dave Megapowers' favorite wizard, by the way.
Oh, Megapowers.
It's not that degenerate fucking Pinky Sanchez.
Dude, I listened back. I didn't realize, like, when I had called in, I had no idea what was going on at the beginning of the show. And when I berated him about the microphone, little did I know it was just one step along that way when you were trying to get him to speak into it. That was hilarious.
He was such a nice guy, but he was such a fucking mess. And he didn't know my fucking name.
That fucking, I lost it when I heard that. I was like, oh no.
He didn't know my name when he left my apartment.
What t-shirt?
What's a shining wizard? What's today?
What a fucking nicest guy ever, but boy did he was like fucking Tony to the podcast. He was like podcast cancer.
That's great, though.
That's not nice.
He was cool. I just wish he had like a fucking, his thumb was all busted up. So it was all like, he had like a cast on and he couldn't hold the microphone. And
does he only have one hand?
Well, the other hand, we were sucking back Angry Orchards.
Oh, God.
And I tried to be all professional. I got like fucking headphones and I tried to find microphone stands. And like the headphones weren't long enough. It was...
Matt went shopping.
I did. I went to fucking Guitar Center. I went to some like shady fucking music store to buy a microphone stand.
Hilarious.
What a mess. What
absolutely
a mess.
Hilarious.
So, how was your day, Matt?
Sucked.
Oh, why?
Because I fucking ripped the awning off the pizza truck.
Like the Incredible Hulk?
No, I fucking pulled over because there was a fire truck coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the pizza truck, but there's an awning that hangs off the side of it.
Okay.
I didn't take into the account the trees. So I guess I wedged the awning between the tree when I pulled over. I thought I had more room.
Oh, God.
After the truck went by, I just took off, and so did the awning.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But there was no cars behind me, and I didn't cause any accidents, so.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, it was fucking awful. That's how I started. That's my day started at 11:30 like that.
Ugh.
So how many pizzas do you have to sell to fix the awning?
More than enough.
Wah, wah.
Poor
Matt.
But the day's over now, so.
Yes.
Well, let's think of it like this. At least you had a great show Monday night to get your mind off of how bad things were today.
What great show is this?
I was watching Arrested Development on Netflix, if you're talking about that.
Oh, is that the new? Is that one of the new episodes?
No, I haven't caught up to the new season yet.
Has the new season started?
I don't think so. Oh, has it really?
Yeah, it's all released. They released them all at one time.
Well, that's wacky.
Yepers.
But that's a great show.
Speaking of great things.
Let's talk about Raw.
I wasn't actually going to talk about Raw. I was going to ask Eddie about the PWS show.
Great things. Great things. It was a fun show. I got to hang out with Disco Inferno and Kanzer Gideon.
Does Disco have like a real name? Can you kayfabe it?
It's Glenn Gilberti.
Did you call him Glenn or did you call him Disco?
Oh, I called him Disco all night. I just called him Disco.
Yeah,
he was cool as hell. He's 45 and he hasn't aged a day and he's still in phenomenal shape.
Yeah, I got that picture you sent me. It looks exactly the same. That's fucking awesome.
It's dead.
Yeah, he came in. I said, holy shit. I said, dude, you have not changed. He's like, I work out hard every single day. He's got a six pack. He can still go, man. He's in incredible shape.
He's got that fucking De Niro, Travolta, 70s Italian pompadour face. Like, their faces never change.
No, they don't. He's aged very well. He's a cool dude. He's a very cool dude.
He's going to look that way when he's 70.
Why did you need to know Colt's finisher?
Oh, Disco asked me what his finisher was because I guess he was told he was going to take the finisher, but he didn't know what it was. So he said, what's Colt's finisher? I said, dude, I've seen Colt do a whole bunch of shit, so I really don't know. I think it's a top rope pile driver. And he looked at me and goes, really? I said, yeah, it's a top rope pile driver.
How was the rest of the card?
It was good. Kevin Matthews almost lost an eye. Clark took off his shirt in protest of Reality Check.
Ugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What else happened? Stan Hansen cut a nice promo in the ring. Little Mac from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out came out to save Starman. He hit people with a bunch of uppercuts.
That's fucking awesome.
So he looked great. It looked just like he stepped out of the video game. It was a good time. It was a fun show.
Did you get an opportunity to walk around and mingle with the legends that were there?
Yeah, I spoke to Ron Simmons a little bit. Who else was Stan Hansen? I said hello. You're a nice man. you know, who else was there? It was the normal crew, really. Just a couple legends there, here and there. But
Dusty?
No, Dusty. Dusty has a. Well, you told me he hates to fly, right?
Yeah, he was miserable when we saw him.
Yeah, he said he had a foot problem, and the doctor said he couldn't fly. But I just don't think he wanted to go on a plane.
That sucks.
Wait, a foot problem? Are you sure you weren't talking to Tony Atlas?
Yeah, I wasn't talking to Tony Atlas. So New Jack was the commissioner. He comes out. He has a sword. He's wearing a suit, but he has a sword. He interrupts a match, or he comes out after a match, and he tries to book the main event of the show and the main event for the next show. But he completely forgot what he was supposed to say, and then he forgot Kevin Matthews' name, and he called him a big steroid using N-bomb. And it just was, I would say, people would say it was all downhill from there, but it was all uphill from there because that shit was fucking hilarious. So Kevin Matthews had to take the mic and said, what you're trying to say is, and then he was able to make sense of what New Jack was booking. But New Jack, man, what a gem. What a gem. He needs to be commissioner of the world.
Wow. That's something else.
Yes. So that was New Jack's little gimmick there. And, you know, all in all, it was a fun night. Hung out with the bum. Bum had a good time.
Nice. Did it go past midnight?
Yeah, I think it did. It went pretty late. Disco Inferno almost had to use Bum's, or Gideon, or Cans, or Gideon, whatever the fuck his name is. He almost had to use his knee pads because he forgot his.
Nice. How was that match against Colt Cabana?
It was solid. It was exactly what you would expect it to be. It was comedy. And the moves they did were solid, and Colt Cabana beat him with an ass bump to the face.
Nice.
And then after the match, when Disco came back, I was like, so I guess that's his finisher. Ass to the face. He's like, yeah, I guess that was it.
It's better than a top rope pile driver.
Yeah, which actually turns out to be one of Colt's moves anyway, right? Or like a top rope Death Valley driver or something?
I think it might be a death. You might be right on the Death Valley driver.
So I was close.
But I feel like a pile driver is a little more intense than the Death Valley driver.
Yeah, I know. Still, it's all good. So that was the show. Good times.
Nice. Very good.
Yes, yes. And then there was what else is going on in wrestling? There was Raw.
There was Raw. I caught bits and pieces of it.
It wasn't horrible. I'm going to say it wasn't horrible, but just shit did not make sense at all.
That's WWE for you.
I mean, this whole thing that they're doing with Triple H and Stephanie and Vince, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Why would Vince come out there and keep giving Curtis Axel the win? It doesn't make sense.
Maybe Vince's shenanigans. He's a Paul Heyman guy.
I don't know, man. But the whole thing just – it seemed out of place, really out of place, kind of silly.
It's overweight,
and the way they're saying, oh, Curtis Axel,
right now.
Triple H, he's beneath you. You do not need to wrestle him. He is beneath Curtis you. Axel, it's like, how are you going to get a guy over by constantly saying that he's beneath somebody? That's just stupid.
Well, he's going to win the IC title at the pay-per-view.
All right, everybody.
Yes, which was supposed to go to Fandango, which is kind of funny because now – I wonder how he feels. All right, shit, I got a concussion. I'm sitting out the pay-per-view. I was supposed to be IC champion. Now they're going in a completely different direction. So I guess that's it, because they're probably going to keep the belt on Curtis Axel for a while. So Fandango's shit out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Maybe it helps elevate the IC title, although you need to do a lot of work with that.
Yeah, well, I think Dean Ambrose is going to do a good job elevating the U.S. title as long as he doesn't lose to Kane Sunday.
Kane.
Stay.
Really? They're wrestling each other on Sunday?
Yep. They had a match on Raw with shenanigans, so they get a rematch on Sunday for the U.S. title, which I guess is good, because if Ambrose beats Kane in a U.S. title match, that kind of legitimizes the title a little better. And it's being defended on pay-per-view, which is also a big deal.
That's true. How's what do they have Daniel Bryan doing at the pay-per-view?
He's teaming with Randy Orton to take on the Shield for the tag titles.
That's when Daniel Bryan goes complete heel turn.
If they turn Daniel Bryan heel, they're fucking everything up, because that dude is so over right now. I mean, holy shit, he's the most over guy on the roster. If they don't switch gears and focus on him, they're making a huge mistake, because that guy appeals to kids and adults, and he can wrestle. He has the character. He has the look. He's over. He has the moves. If they fucking just sidestep it and turn him heel, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, but if they turn him heel, you think people aren't going to cheer for him? You think he might have, like, that Austin syndrome going on? Like, no matter what Austin did, people still went apeshit for him?
Yeah, but then again, I mean, they need to focus on – I think they got to change the face of the company at this point. I mean, when Cena comes out, it's either just boos or just – it's an empathetic reaction. No one really cares. I mean, this whole Ryback feud, no one cares. And I like Ryback.
How can you not be excited?
What?
How can you not be excited for Cena Ryback?
I'm not excited for Cena Ryback. And it's like, what's their issue?
It's one of the greatest rivalries ever.
It's awful. That's another guy they shit the bed with. Ryback was on fire as a face, and they turn him heel and make him talk a lot. I mean, come on, stop.
Hey, Tony, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't? You haven't chimed in. I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
What?
What?
Who?
See, that's what happens when you ask Tony to chime in.
Is it safe?
What is what safe?
Is it that? Stay. Tony, what did you think of Raw?
I didn't really watch anything except for nothing. I don't really remember. The only thing I saw was Stephanie McMahon walking down the hallway trying to fucking get Triple H and Vince McMahon to talk. That was it.
She's more and more like China than ever. I mean, did you hear her voice?
She's got a big clitoris?
Probably. She's got that jaw and that voice.
It's and that like cavernous area between her tits.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that Bowman wants to put his cock in.
No.
Yes.
No, stay away from that. Bad.
No.
Bad zone.
It's like she had breast cancer in between her breasts and they cut the meat out.
Man. I don't know. Too soon? It's rough. Take her off TV. She's not doing anything for me.
She looks better. She looks better than she did last time she appeared.
Cares, Stephanie McMahon. Who cares? I don't even know why Triple H is on TV. Why are they going to continue this feud with Lesnar? What a waste of Lesnar. They could have used Lesnar to elevate other people and to generate interest in matches that we haven't seen in the 90s and in the 2000s and now. I mean, come on. Why are they wasting him with Triple H? Why does Triple H need to fucking bury everybody?
Because Triple H Brock sells at SummerSlam.
It sells nothing.
You know, I can't say it doesn't, but you know what? If you're going to try and run a SummerSlam. I mean, I don't think Cena and Ryback can headline it. And who knows? Is Punk really coming back Sunday to fight Jericho, or is that like a ruse?
Oh, I have my doubts, man. I don't think he is.
Like you're moving towards SummerSlam, and you're going to have to have some marquee names up there, and if Punk's not ready to go.
I thought that was already announced being on the card.
It is. For some reason, I don't think Punk's showing up. I think they're running some kind of angle. I don't know. I just don't think he's going to be there.
Like Dwayne Gill's going to show up and take his place?
Yeah, he's going to wrestle R-Truth.
God. Cesaro got a win over a returning Sin Cara, which kind of didn't make sense to me since they're starting a program with ADR and Sin Cara. Not ADR. What the fuck? Swagger and Sin Cara.
Well, don't feel bad because I'm sure tonight at SmackDown tapings, he gets the win back. 50-50 booking, everyone.
I said that already. Absolutely, he's going to get the win back. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Wait. Swagger went from being in the World Heavyweight Championship picture to having a feud with fucking Sin Cara?
Yes, sir.
Dude, Sheamus is fighting Damian Sandow.
Damian Sandow, he deserves to be in a high-profile match like that. Although
it's a YouTube match.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
LOL curtain jerking.
Ugh, it's so bad. It's not. I don't mind seeing Sheamus curtain jerking. I'm so sick of him. He is just awful with his wrestling's fine, but his character is just so awful. It's so unlikable. It's
my job to get the crowd excited, fella.
No one cares.
He sounds like a Gideon.
Yes.
No.
Sheamus is crickets. I can't stand him. I cannot stand his character at all. I remember when he was getting buried for a while when he was King of the Ring or whatever. And
he was King of the Ring?
He was King Sheamus for a while, and everyone was just like, oh, why are they doing this to Sheamus?
I forgot all about that.
Remember, he was losing all the time, and people were like, oh, man, I can't believe it. They need to push this guy. But then they push him, but they give him this awful character. He's the worst babyface in the world. And they just keep going with it. He's so stale.
18 seconds, fella.
Ugh, awful.
Well, he was feuding with Mark Henry until Mark Henry pulled up lame again.
Yeah. Good old Mark Henry.
What about Mark Henry?
Old Botchamania himself.
Oh, man, he's injury prone as hell.
What do you guys think about the Wyatt family?
Fuck them.
No, they're awesome, dude. Really? That's the only thing that's good. I can't believe how good those promos are. That cannot be WWE creative. That had to be someone else coming up with that character. Had to be.
He's got Rotunda in his blood. That's why.
It's so good. And that goat mask. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, I give it 3 months until there's goat mask puppets that everybody's putting on their hands, like the Snake or Mr. Socko.
Goat mask puppets.
They'll fucking run that into the ground.
They'll blow it. I mean, they're going to make a strong debut, and then they're going to blow the characters and split them up and feud them, and then they'll just be whatever. But you know.
I'll blow them all.
You know what? Maybe they won't. I mean, they haven't really busted up the Shield yet.
You know, the Shield's getting kind of stale, man. It's just like bad NWO, all DQ finishes. And that Roman Reigns match, that was kind of a shitting. That was like, I don't know, it was the shits.
Who, Reno Riggins?
Reno Riggins, Luther Reigns.
Wow, somebody just sounded like shit. What was that?
Did you guys touch on it last week when Shane and Vince were in the – or Shane. Stephanie and Vince were in the ring and the fucking Shield music hit, how awesome that was?
Yeah, and they did nothing with it. It was just an app advertisement.
Oh, was it really for an apps?
Yeah, to tune into the – oh, that's another thing. The fucking constant shilling of that app. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Is that – they want you to – during a match – they want you to go on the app and watch interviews with fucking Sheamus? Really?
We're trying to push the fucking technology nonsense.
Oh, it's so annoying, that fucking app. I mean, Twitter, tout, app, stop.
No one cares. You know what? That's the direction that the youth is going in. That's what's fucking hip.
Oh, it's
kids are always fucking. I was working a market today, and the guy at the fucking stand across from me was showing me this app. It's like Instagram, but you can make 6-second videos.
Oh,
I heard about that. Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, is that what it's come to? You need to put up a 6-second video to show everybody what the fuck you're doing?
Do yourself a favor. Check out everything that Jim Norton's done and everything that Anthony Cumia has done. 6 seconds is enough to be fucking hysterical.
If you're funny, but no one in WWE can do 6 seconds of humor.
I think overweight Larry needs a Vine account.
No.
Yes.
No, I think and you think he needs help.
Overweight Larry's taken over the world.
No, he's not. You're so delusional. Five people like overweight Larry. It's like six people like Tickles and five people like overweight Larry.
I think Tickles is more over than overweight Larry.
I think you're wrong with that one, sir.
I don't.
I think you're wrong with that one.
Tickles fucking caters to a whole gay community.
Yeah, he does.
Overweight Larry caters to catering.
Fair enough, but when all your fucking fans are owners of restaurants, that doesn't count.
Hey, guys.
No, stop. Can please, I get some cake? Stop.
Stop what?
I hope you have a real heart attack.
A real life one. Thanks. Like a Tony real life one.
Like while you're doing overweight Larry.
Hey, where's Satan been?
He just dies.
Satan's on the fucking, he's on the pizza truck.
Satan's definitely on the pizza truck. He's
ripping fucking, knocking awnings off and being fucking creepy and awkward to women in Hoboken.
Take care.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Alrighty.
Take care.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Take care. So are we done with Raw?
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh, God, I hope so.
So did you guys hear about Justin Credible?
Yeah, I fucking shot you that that text the other night, and I never responded. My apologies. I had to go to bed because I thought I was going to be on TV.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, fucking people robbed his house in masks.
His parents' house?
I don't know whose house it is. It seems like he has his whole family living there. His brother, his brother's wife, and their kid or something. And I don't know, a whole bunch of people.
I think it's his parents' house, and him and his wife live in the basement.
And his brother lives there, too.
Right, and they live in, like, his whole family lives in, like, the downstairs, like, a finished area. And they had the door locked, and it all went on upstairs while they were fucking in there, like, sleeping.
That's crazy. He thinks that it was, that they know who he is. Not know who he is, but it was, like, they know his brother, because they were mentioning his brother by name, so who knows.
That's fucking creepy.
I don't want to say it was aliens.
They tried to fucking rob Jay Lethal, too.
Really?
Yeah, I saw something he put on of his Twitter, and he fucking, like, he, like, punked him out of his apartment or something.
Wow. Man, you got to feel bad for Justin Credible. I mean, he's trying to get his shit together. He's doing real well, and, like, bad things just keep happening. It's insane.
It's just incredible.
It's just insane. it's just intolerable.
But, yeah, what you know, as long as he keeps his nose out of trouble, though, I mean, there really isn't anything he can do. I mean, the fact that he really isn't on TV and as relevant as he was 10 years ago and this is happening now, I mean.
Yeah, that sucks.
You know, you're fucking kind of late to the party. It's like me looking for the fucking She Bangs kid just to get his autograph.
Well, I think it was aimed at his brother more so than him.
Well, what's his brother do?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't think it had anything to do with PJ. I think it had more to do with his brother. But I digress. Such is life.
Could just be home invasions.
It could just be home invasions in Connecticut for some reason.
Well, Connecticut's got big money up there.
Yeah, they do. But all they got was like $5 and a cell phone, I think.
Oh, sounds like they broke into my apartment.
Yeah, so that's that. What else is going on? Any other news?
News. I don't know. You guys been watching TNA?
Have I? Yeah, I actually have been watching TNA.
Oh, you watched? Did you get the pay-per-view or did you go somewhere to watch it?
I watched the pay-per-view.
You said it was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was not bad at all. I mean, they always have good matches. They have the guys to have good matches, but the direction of the company is just, it's so stupid. I mean, their tag teams are just all great singles wrestlers right now. Wasting time.
Fernandez is a fucking great singles wrestler.
He's not bad. Him and I don't think him and Chavo are together anymore. He just got a win over Chavo in that Bound for Glory.
Ugh.
That fucking tournament sucks.
They took fucking Jay Bradley, who looks like $1 million, and had him win a gut check tournament so he could be the fucking job guy.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. I know. It's so stupid. It's that Bound for Glory tournament always confuses me. It's just too much.
Are you how do you feel about Saban getting his future world title shot?
I don't care. Who cares? He's going to lose.
You think so?
Yeah, Saban's not going to. Nah, do you see Saban as world champion? I mean, he's great, but he's good. He's X-Division TV title guy. He's not a company carrier. I mean, he's been fantastic, but do you see him as world champion?
No.
I see him as less of a champion as Austin Aries was. I mean, Austin Aries is like a mid-card guy. He's great. He can wrestle anybody, main event style, whatever, but he's not a company carrier. He's not the guy that's going to bring them over the top.
Does Quentin Rampage Jackson bring him over the top?
Oh, yeah, right. Fuck that shit, too. Who cares? That is such a waste. Such a waste. Who cares? I mean, if they do it right, maybe he'll have a nice little thing with Angle. And if he's a wrestling fan, maybe he'll produce. But the dude's 35. I mean, look what – they had Pac-Man Jones. They had fucking Bobby Lashley. Who else did they have? They had a few guys come in and do that shit. Oh, King Mo. What a flop that was. King Mo.
Mo.
Who cares? Who cares? They have to stop it. They're doing the same thing. WWE now is scouting football players heavily. They have an agreement with I don't know if it's the NFL or a subsidiary of the NFL where it's either retired guys or guys that are injured that can't play football anymore. They're scouting them now to join their wrestling camp.
Really?
Yep, and it's a big focus. And they're also going to amateur wrestling events now. They're doing that whole thing where they're not taking guys that have passion for the business. They're just taking big hulking athletes and hoping that they, you know, find lightning in a bottle with them like they did with Kurt Angle.
Right.
So that's a fucking waste. It's so stupid. It's just, yeah,
that's rough. That's terrible.
It really is. It really is. They do the same thing with the girls. I mean, there's a lot of girls that bust their ass to be pro wrestlers. You know, they got the blow girls. I mean, there's a lot of girls out there that want to wrestle, but they don't even look at them. They just go to fucking beauty pageants and bodybuilding competitions. I spot out a girl that looks good and say, hey, do you want to train to wrestle? We'll pay you a bunch of money. And then that's it. And then they get shit.
What do you think the reasoning is behind that? Like, why wouldn't you, like, everybody knows since Vince told the world that it was fixed and it's entertainment, like, obviously all these other companies aren't going out there trying to convince you that fucking wrestling's real. They're all doing it for entertainment value. Why wouldn't you think that somebody who's been doing this for so long wouldn't come aboard the WWE ship and be all about the entertainment value? Like, why does everyone have to be a fucking hulking 6'8", 320 fucking musclehead?
I don't know. Vince has always – remember WBF? Vince has always had a boner for the fucking muscles. Plus, Vince doesn't want to have guys – for the most part, that made it on in the indie scene. I mean, you look at CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. They got over despite the WWE. They got over because they're that damn good, and the fans made them get over. But Vince feels threatened when he has guys that might know the business better than him and might be, you know, might know what's good for them better than Vince knows for them. So he stays away from that. He needs to create and mold his own people. That's why he's doing it. Plus, he only goes for people that are aesthetically pleasing, which is why, you know, the Briscoes don't have a job in WWE because they were told flat out, you guys don't look good. You're not pleasing to the eye. We're not going to hire you. And that's a shoot. That's straight shoot.
Yeah, but that's garbage because it's fucking wrestling.
I know. But that's Vince.
They have a they should have a license to print money, the Briscoes.
Yes. That is Vince. That's Vince for you. He's fucking out of touch.
Because he fucking raids the indies, though, and he takes all these guys with all these talent, and I mean, you know, Dean Ambrose is no shit brick house.
Yeah.
No, Seth Rollins isn't a beast, and the Shield is taken off. The fucking Wyatts, you know, aren't. I mean, Brody Lee is an impressively large man. Husky Harris is a big kid, but I mean, I don't know. And they have all these fucking young indie guys, and they keep fucking raiding the indies. You know that.
Yeah, they are.
There's well, a.
It's going to get worse since they open up that fucking huge-ass developmental center in Florida.
Is it going to get worse or is it going to get better?
It's going to get worse, dude. I mean, that's just a manufactured fucking shithole to deprogram all these talented guys to work the vanilla style of the WWE and at the same time just completely depleting the indie scene of any actual talent. It's bad. It's going to be a bad time. They're going to take all these guys. They're going to house them in this huge warehouse, you know, deprogram them from everything that they know, and then maybe put them on TV. But there's just going to be so many guys. I think Vince just wants to have everything. He's going to raid them, and he's not even going to use half the talented guys. He's either going to job them out or just keep them under contract and let them fucking fuck around in FCW or whatever,
well, or NXT. You could always hope for the Trent Perrettas of the world who get out and go wrestle in fucking all Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Just, that's good for Japan.
Fucking scratch your head as to why he was never super successful in WWE because he should have.
Maybe John Cena didn't like him. I mean, that's probably what it could come down to.
Ugh. Gross.
It's so bad. Well, it's the same way. Like, look, they fucking fired Dolph Ziggler's baby brother while Dolph Ziggler's been out with a concussion. They fired him. Why? Why release him? I mean, you would think that their quote-unquote world champion would have a little bit of pull. A little bit? I mean, you're out, you're injured, you're hurt. That's how you respect your world champion, by firing his brother while you're sidelined with a potentially career-threatening injury? Fuck you. I mean, seriously, I'd fucking piss all over that belt and say, fuck you.
Yeah, but if I don't know much about Dolph Ziggler's brother, and at the same time, it's a business. If he's not producing and he's not doing what he needs to do in FCW, or he's a fucking troublemaker, he's like fucking Brian Cobb. I mean, you never know.
But you really think it? I don't think it comes down to if you're good. I think it comes down to who you're friends with and who likes you and what Vince wants to do with you. I don't think it matters if you're good. Look at Kevin Matthews. He's phenomenal. You look at him, he's a guy that you would say that's a WWE star. He's the legit mold for a WWE guy. But just because he didn't want to fucking buy Bill DeMott drinks every single night at the bar and be his little bitch, and he actually spoke up for himself, and he got released. That's what happens. That's how it goes. It's the nature of the beast. If they don't like you, no matter how talented you are, you're not going to make it. It's awful.
It's unfortunate.
Sure is. Sure is.
How you doing over there, Tony?
Oh, you're talking to me?
What the fuck are you doing? Why don't you fucking interject into this conversation?
Every time I try to talk, somebody jumps over me. So I said, fuck it, I'll let you guys have some time. You guys haven't talked to each other in like a decade.
Huh?
I talked to Eddie on Thursday, Wednesday.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. I went to your house.
Yeah? Good for you.
Go for you now.
Go for you. Go for you.
What do you got over there note-wise, Dicko? You got any news?
No, I was preparing for a call time, so I actually got some topics to talk about in terms of just discussing some old wrestling, but I wasn't expecting a full-fledged show, so I've got nothing.
Oh, have you guys gotten a chance to check out the Greatest Rivals DVD?
No.
No.
It is excellent.
Good.
And the it's surprising the people they got to they do it like they go through the countdown.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little cheesy because there's like a lady there with like the periodic table of charts, the periodic table. And like she's like, oh, you know, what do you get when you mix this and this? An explosion. But then they get into the fucking rivalries. And some of the guys, like Shane Douglas, is the only guy that talks about the Taz-Sabu feud.
They had Shane Douglas in studio?
Yeah, like Shane Douglas was the guy who narrated the whole piece about Sabu and Taz.
That's so weird that they got him to do that. You know what?
You know who else they got?
Who?
Vince Russo did Austin and McMahon.
Wow. You know what, man? You know why these DVDs are so good? Because Vince has nothing to do with them. Nothing. I don't think he has any input. I think he just says, you guys are doing fine with this. Just you know, that's your own thing. I don't think Vince has anything to, because they're too good. I don't think Vince has anything to do with those videos.
Yeah, but if you think they're hiring Shane Douglas and Vince Russo and Stephanie Wyand and all these other people they bring out of mothballs to come in and do these, and they don't have Vince's permission, that's fucking insane, dude.
I don't think Vince cares. I think he just sees DVDs are moneymakers, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, but if he really hated Shane Douglas, he would have never have allowed him to do that. That's all McMahon's doing. They're not going to go behind his back to bring in somebody like Shane Douglas, not Shane McMahon, Jesus.
Well, Shane Douglas was on the Mick Foley DVD, too.
Well, there you go. Then you wonder why Extreme Rising hasn't been doing any shows, because Shane's actually making real money working for Vince again.
You think they're fucking really paying him good money to do that? They probably gave him $500 on a hot dog.
No, I bet you they're paying him a little something better than that.
It's just weird, though, right?
But it's likeness. It's now his likeness is on that DVD, so he's probably got some sort of residuals coming.
Right, like... Batista's going to be on the fucking Triple H DVD.
Yeah, because he needs some fucking money too. What has he done lately?
He's a big movie star.
Batista.
Batista's doing fine.
He's doing fine. He's the fucking lead role in that one movie coming out.
What, 12 Rounds 3?
I don't know. It's a real movie. WWE film.
The Marine 5?
No, it's a real film. He's like, is it like a superhero film or something?
Yeah, he plays like the fucking main character.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Somebody who knows something about fucking up-and-coming movies would know the answer to this.
You know how rich Batista probably is? He is so fucking wealthy. He left on his own terms.
He spent money on whores and crack. You know that.
No, not Batista.
He did grow up in the Washington, D.C. area.
Told you. Oh, he's going to be on The Shield. Oh, no, wait. That's Reno Riggins.
What?
The Shield was in D.C.
Okay.
All right, I'm going back to sleep. I'll see you later.
What are your topics for this evening?
Wait, I had one more. I just had a gripe with the Greatest Rivals DVD before we jump in.
Oh, I thought you said it was phenomenal.
It was great. The only thing that bothered me was that they put they went through that whole Sabu and Taz thing, and then they come around, and the match that they put on there is the fucking Barely Legal match.
That was the match.
They've had many matches after that.
Yeah, but that was the big build.
I understand that, but that match is on like a bunch of other ECW DVDs they put out.
That's because they're lazy. They're not gonna build. That'd be like building the Shawn and Brett feud and then showing their ladder match from like Superstars.
You know that the Survivor Series match isn't on the DVD, but it's on the Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah, it's an extra. Because they've expunged the fucking Survivor Series match from history.
That's weird. Well, they did the whole Brett Shawn rivalry DVD already, so maybe they just thought it'd be overkill.
No, I mean on that DVD, the Brett Shawn rivalry DVD.
Yeah.
That match isn't on the DVD. You have to buy the Blu-ray. It's an extra.
Well, that's just a marketing ploy.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, that's just how they make their money. WWE. That's how they do.
Wee.
Yay.
Oh, I jumped on the fucking Mega Powers bandwagon and I ordered some fucking Japanese wrestling DVDs.
Yeah, do you have a fucking Region 2 DVD player?
I do, jerk off. Thanks for asking.
Oh. Fuckface. Well, what do you have? How'd you get one of those?
What?
What is it, like your PlayStation?
No, it's the fucking whatever DVD player's in the living room.
That's a region. It plays Region 2?
Yeah, I watched like half the fucking Stan Hansen documentary before I had to go to bed the other night.
Wow, you know, he still looks good.
The fucking documentary's awesome.
It's in English?
The questions are asked in Japanese, but he answers everything in English. And his answers...
They subtitle him?
The questions in Japanese?
No, they subtitle his answers so like the Japanese people can understand. Okay, I have to watch that when you're done.
Yeah, I'm still in that chapter of his career where he's wrestling Inoki all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was
so that. Dave says it's like a 3-hour documentary. I'm fucking fired up about it.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And it's got the fucking match where he knocks out Vader's eye on there.
I just watched that today. When did it happen? It seems like Vader has him in like a chin lock or something. Then he just stops and takes off his mask and his eye is like a fucking big egg.
Yeah,
I don't know where it happened. When did it happen in the match?
I don't know when it happened. I haven't even gotten to watch the matches yet. I have no fucking time to do anything. And then the other DVD I brought was the Bruiser Brody set.
Oh, Jesus. That poor guy.
Yeah, so I can't wait to watch those.
Do they have the Brody Luger match on there?
I don't know. I don't read Japanese. That's the problem.
Oh, man. That's a fucking great match.
So I just have to watch everything. Did Grantland do the second part of their shoot thing?
Who?
Grantland, the guys that wrote the article about the Luger-Brody match.
Oh, I don't know.
Weren't they supposed to come out with the Lawler-Gilbert one next?
Oh, that's right. The one that was posted. Yeah, I think that's got to be next. I don't think that's out yet. I'll have to ask our buddy Chris Rawley because he's the one that posted the first one. But I watched that. I saw that Doug Gilbert promo. It's freaking hilarious.
Craziness. So what do you got for us, Tony?
That promo actually allegedly cost them their television in Tennessee.
I'm sure it did.
Tennessee.
Good times. So anyway, I posed a question today to our Facebook faithful. And we actually had a nice little conversation going about it. And the topic was, if there was one thing you can change the booking of anything in wrestling history, what would it be? A lot of people took it like as for one particular moment. A lot of people took it as a storyline. A lot of great responses. I don't know if you guys had a chance to think about it at all, but have you put any thought into what you might change if you had the chance to?
Absolutely.
All right, let's start with Eddie.
Okay. Well, it's something I think a lot of people mentioned, and I think it's a pivotal point in wrestling history. Did someone just die?
Yes, Matt did. He had a heart attack.
God, sorry.
The awning fell off in my house.
Stay. a lot of people said this. I honestly think that the WCW purchase, if done correctly, could have been phenomenal, and they could still be making money off it today. A lot of guys would still be alive. A lot of guys would still have jobs, and wrestling would be in a whole different place. But instead, we all know what happened there. But I think ever since then, once they botched that completely and lost the faith of their diehard audience, that's when the ratings started to slide. That's when their show got shitty. Now they're lucky if they pull a three.
Okay.
They lost tens of millions of fans after they purchased WCW. How do you fuck something like that up so bad and so intentionally? It's insane.
Well, I think that's
something that that's something that could have been completely done differently and a million times better. But you know, Vince, out of touch, he has an ego, doesn't give a fuck, and that's what happens. He doesn't care about fans. He's a self-loathing wrestling promoter. What does he care?
The original thought was for Shane McMahon to make his bones as a promoter and run it as a separate, an independent company, let's call it that. Do you think that's the way they should have gone? Or do you? What do you think?
This is the way they should have gone. Vince should have handled this the same way he handled his agreement with ECW. Totally kayfabe. Hire Eric Bischoff. You did anyway a year later. Hire Eric Bischoff and have Eric Bischoff say, I'm on Nitro and guess I'm on WCW, and guess what? We're now going to run a show on WWE's established channels. And that could have been like, holy shit, they could have done a whole other type of wars thing without even getting talent mixing it up yet. I mean, they could have really kayfabed the whole thing like WCW was still around. They could have done so much. They could have – fuck the McMahons. Fuck Shane. He shouldn't have had anything to do with that shit. That was stupid. It was stupid. It should have been fucking Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, it was stupid the way it wound up. But you got to remember, in the beginning, they weren't paying these – you know, the top guys in WCW, they weren't buying out contracts. These guys were happy to sit at home and collect millions doing nothing.
Yeah. In the meantime, they could have established stars in both of other guys. I mean, look at the guys that didn't sit out. Buff Bagwell didn't sit out. Diamond Dallas Page didn't sit out. Lance Storm didn't sit out. A lot of those guys had, you know, established names that did not sit out that could have carried the promotion. Then they could have done a kayfabe thing like Jericho's contract's up. Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? They could have brought over guys whose contracts are up, or they could have done a whole kayfabe thing where three of the guys just got in an argument with management and asked for the releases, and a couple months later they show up on WCW TV. That's how they could have gotten stars in the meantime. And then when Goldberg was ready and Hogan was ready and Hall and Nash, bring them in, Flair. They could have done so much with that shit. They're just so fucking one-dimensional.
Do you think that if they follow that scenario, they may have sent over some of their current WWF stars just to bulk up WCW at that point?
Yeah, to hold it over until their WCW mainstays were done sitting out their contracts.
And you don't think that doing that may have already diluted WCW into like WWE 2 or something like that?
Not if they did it right. Not if they did it like, remember when Benoit and Perry Saturn and all them came over at one time?
Yeah.
If they did it like that. Yeah, the Radicals. If they worked the sheets, if they worked the dirt sheets like that and said, Jericho and so-and-so and so-and-so are not happy, and just fucking feed the dirt sheets with bullshit, kayfabe the whole thing, and then say, oh my God, their contracts are up. They asked for the release, and Vince said, I don't want to have anything to do with you, threw his hands up. And the next night, they show up on fucking Nitro, the same way Luger did. I mean, that would have been awesome. Easily done. Easily done with just a little bit of thought. They could have fucking still made money off that.
Any thoughts on that, Matt?
No, I agree with Eddie. They definitely fucking dropped the ball with that, and they could have made a shitload of money on that. And it's ironic because none of these guys were going to – WWE didn't want to buy any of these guys out of their contracts, and they all ended up there a year and a half, 2 years later anyway. And by that time, it was a fucking moot point. It didn't even matter. No one was fucking fired up when DDP was stalking The Undertaker's wife.
He got a huge pop when he took off the mask.
Sure did.
But the angle, what a piece of shit. Who would stalk that fucking ugly looking bitch?
Well, that's why Undertaker's with Michelle McCool now.
Why would he go from banging Kimberly
to stalking this fucking disgusting-looking wolf lady. That's awful.
Because Eric Bischoff was banging Kimberly.
Yes. And it was mind games.
Self-high-five.
And Heather Clem was banging the Hulkster and
all those other great stuff.
Yeah. What do you got, Tony?
I actually had a few of them that I was mulling over, but I think the one that I would have loved to have seen the most was Paul Orndorff winning the cage match on Saturday night's main event.
What do you think that would have changed?
Orndorff at that point was completely over. He was getting the crowds behind him. I don't care what anybody says. If you look at the big event at the Canadian Expo Center up in, what is it, Montreal? I don't even remember. But anyway.
Toronto,
thank you. You've got 70-plus thousand people going apeshit when they thought Mr. Wonderful won the title. My thing is, you know, I understand this was the backup plan if things didn't work out with Andre, but, you know, Orndorff was just so crazy over. Give him a run with the title. Why not? Give it to him for a couple of months, and then you could pull the trigger on Hogan-Orndorff rematch at WrestleMania, and it even fit in with the fucking biased referee storyline. You could have had fucking Danny Davis like been the final decision, punk out the other referee, however you want to do it, and Orndorff walks away with the title. And instead of having, like, you know, paying for plastic surgery and twin referees and all that other jazz, they make it very simple a year earlier that Orndorff, you know, they had Danny Davis in their pocket. And it made sense because Danny Davis fucked over Tito Santana and he fucked over the British Bulldogs. So why not fuck over the Hulkster too? Make the trifecta out of it.
Fair enough.
Orndorff goes to WrestleMania, defends the title, loses. Hulkamania wins again, and everything's right with the world. The end. And honestly, I think you sell out WrestleMania 3 with that match. If you could bring 70,000 people to a house show in Canada, you know, not on pay-per-view, not with a worldwide audience, to see that match, why not? Why not on the biggest stage at WrestleMania 3, you know, with the biggest crowd up to that point there and the crowd on pay-per-view in closed circuit? I think it's a no-brainer.
I think Hogan-Andre was the main plan all along because they actually had long-term booking then. And if you think about it, yeah, Orndorff was talented. And it was a great, you know, it was a great fucking feud. But when Andre the Giant ripped the cross off Hogan's neck, that fucking took the Paul Orndorff feud and just fucking threw it away. I mean, that Paul Orndorff feud has nothing on that one moment. It has nothing on it.
No, you're absolutely right. And maybe, you know, maybe it changes things for the worse. Who knows? I just, seeing the way Orndorff worked Hogan for so long and still keeping that feud so fresh. And it all happened, it was kind of the same thing, you know. Orndorff turned on his brother in arms, and Orndorff actually, you know, just like Andre, had the reason, the excuse to turn on him. You didn't return my calls, you don't look out for me. Where were you when I was reaching out for you? He was a best friend betrayed, and he was the one that pulled it off first before anybody else did.
Even before Tugboat.
Yeah, before Tugboat, before whoever else there was. It was like way ahead of the curve.
It's true. That's very true.
Don't get me wrong. Hogan-Andre was epic proportions, and I don't know if you could have held out Andre for another year to do that at WrestleMania 4.
Well, no. You saw how he looked at WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, well, WrestleMania 4 was booked to drizzling shits anyway. I know some friends of ours that disagree with that, but...
Let's mention them while we're on the... the subject of WrestleMania 4, our buddies, the Midnight Jury, Mike Norenganger and Adam Henning host a pretty fucking good show, I gotta say. I'm not saying that because they're friends of mine. They actually, have you guys listened to it yet? It's actually really good.
Yeah, I've been checking it out. I've had a lot of time at work to check out, first of all, catch up on some shows that I've been falling behind on. But yeah, I've been checking it out. They do some good stuff.
It is good. It's not just wrestling, it's pop culture. And they have a Facebook page, The Midnight Jury. It's actually like it's entertaining to me. It's something I would like even if I didn't know who the guys were doing the show.
And they don't have their episodes up as a podcast per se yet.
Per se yet.
I don't want to spoil anything, but I talked to Mike today, or whatever you want to call him. And
Mike,
what do you say, Bill?
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Hey, Mike. What do you say?
I sold cars up in upstate New York. I said, you buy this fucking car, break your fucking head.
How's it going, Bill? What do you say, Mike?
No, but those guys have a YouTube channel, just YouTube The Midnight Jury, and they actually break up the episodes into little snippets. So if you want to catch up on wrestling or horror movies, or they even had a segment I think they did on Aqua. Was that the group that sang Barbie Girl?
And Snick, Saturday Night Nick. I mean, they cover a lot of cool shit.
Yes. So check them out. They're friends with us on Facebook. You'll find them. Anyway, do we have anything more that we want to add to the Paul Orndorff story?
I'm trying to think. You know, for some reason, in the back of my head, I feel like that whole Paul Orndorff run was cut short because of his injured arm, not because of booking.
Yeah, but he's had that injured arm forever. And I think he just wanted time off at that point because he knew they were moving on to Andre.
Maybe.
Because he wasn't at WrestleMania 3 at all. He just disappeared after the cage match. I think he finished up a little bit more on the circuit, but that was it.
Oh, yeah, he did. He vanished.
Because he main evented for so long with Hogan. Dude, they ran the horn for like a year, didn't they?
You know, Hogan gets all the credit, but these guys that ran the horn with them should get at least half the credit for the house draws that they were doing.
That's what Piper says. They didn't want to come to see Hogan. They wanted to see Piper. They wanted to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah, they wanted to see Hogan kick his ass.
Which was the same mentality why you had the Honky Tonk Man running the B shows at the time, because everybody wanted to see him get his fucking shit kicked in.
It's funny, you bring up the Honky Tonk Man. I was talking to Disco Inferno and we were just shooting the shit. And he was like, you know, growing up, he's like, I was a fan of wrestling, but I didn't like Ricky Steamboat. I liked the Honky Tonk Man. He's like, I was a Honky Tonk Man guy. I was a fan of his. I didn't want to do all the chain wrestling and the flippity-doos and the arm drags. I wanted to fucking dance, and I wanted to be the Honky Tonk Man. And he goes, and then he said something really, really interesting. He goes, he says that anybody can be trained to be a professional wrestler. It's not that hard. He says, if you just focus, he could sit someone down tomorrow probably and just, you know, begin training them. And if they have the desire, they can be a professional wrestler. What do you think about that? I mean, can anybody do it?
Well, Khali does it, right?
If they love the business enough to want to train, can anybody do it?
Jack Swagger doesn't really love the business, and he trained to do it.
It's true.
Great Khali's a wrestler. Hornswoggle's a fucking wrestler. I mean,
I guess anyone can anyone, do it. It's just, I mean, not everyone can be good
Jesus
at it.
Jesus Christ, Zeus was a fucking wrestler.
Yeah.
They gave Debo a fucking job in wrestling.
It's true. I mean, I guess he meant that not everyone can be good at it, but anyone can do it.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is look at the old ECW with Paul Heyman. He was a genius at fucking taking guys that didn't have all the talent in the world and making them look like $1 million.
That's right.
No, it's true. Look at John Cena.
Cena used to be able to wrestle.
Accentuate the positives, hide the negatives.
Yes.
You know what's funny? I was watching that UPW John Cena documentary, and his dropkick looks the same now as it did then.
Oh, yeah, he's got a drizzling shit dropkick.
Everything he did then that looked crisp is sloppy now.
Okay, here's an aside. Who had the worst dropkick?
Renegade.
No. That is a true statement. Actually, no. Who's the other one? Eric Watts had a pretty shitty dropkick, too.
Renegades was worse.
Okay, but who's worse out of these two? Fuck. Who are we talking about? John Cena or Bret Hart? Bret Hart had a fucking awful dropkick, too.
He did, but at least he got, like, both feet in the air.
Like, Bret would get up and kind of, like, suspend in midair. John Cena just kind of just throws his whole body at somebody with his foot up.
You know who? Surprisingly, who never had a really great dropkick?
Bob Holly.
No, who didn't have a great dropkick? No, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I don't remember him throwing a dropkick that much.
You need a fucking bottle of Vicodin and try and throw a dropkick.
Fucking awful.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Matt.
Well, Ed, I'm glad you brought up Bret Hart, because my booking scenario or situation, Bret Hart's use when he went to WCW.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good call.
I don't think it would have saved WCW, but I think you would have gotten more out of WCW if they did things a lot fucking different. You had him coming off that fucking the Montreal screw job. He had a 60-day non-compete clause. So for 2 months, you heard Montreal screw job and Bret Hart's coming to WCW. They just bring him in with the fucking cheese dick fucking, he's going to be the ref for Bischoff and Zbyszko at fucking Starrcade. And he gets involved in the fucking Hogan Sting match that they build up for fucking 2 years.
Sting.
I don't know.
Which they botched the ending of.
There's so much that could have been done with him. There's so many feuds that he could have had.
Okay.
If he went into WCW and he was pro WCW and he fought the NWO. I mean, the matches he had with Savage during the late 80s and the 90s were fucking amazing, and I'm sure they could have pulled it off again. You could have finally got to see a Bret Hart Hulk Hogan match that wasn't littered with fucking NWO nonsense and Kevin Nash and the Wolfpack. He fucking could have elevated, you know. I mean, not that Chris Benoit needed it, but just having Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, you could have built a main event superstar in Chris Benoit instead of dicking him around and then making him walk out of the company and throw the fucking title down. He could have continued a feud with Mr. Perfect. I mean, there's just so many things that they could have done with him, and they just fucking changed their minds so often with him. He's a face. He's a heel. He's NWO black and white. He's NWO red and black. He's fucking going to turn his back on Sting because that's what Sting does.
But you know why they did that? They did that because Hulk Hogan.
It's just... You
know, it's weird. Hulk Hogan kind of ruins wrestling.
Like, that's your, like, whatever you can do to benefit the business, I would imagine you'd want to do.
Yeah. But that's not always like, a priority.
I don't know. Hogan's been on top for fucking 20 years. Like, if Bret Hart's going to draw more money and you're going to sell more seats and you're going to get, you know, I don't know, 10 grand less, but there's going to be more people and you can still fucking run shows and be relevant and not have to, you know, delve into the fucking Vince Russo, Jeff Jarrett, you know, Hulk Hogan's a piece of shit nonsense that they went through. Like, that was embarrassing for WCW.
Yeah.
Hey,
that all could have been avoided.
Real quick, you mentioned Macho Man feuding with Bret. Dude, Macho Man was on fire at that point. Him and DDP were tearing down the house every fucking week.
Macho Man looked great.
And Macho Man, dude, and you listen to Dallas talk about that feud. Like, Macho Man just fucking, like, loved to put Dallas over. And he was just like, he's like, before one show, he's like, yeah, tonight I think I'm taking the Diamond Cutter. Like, just fucking letting DDP have wins. He was like, he was fucking working for the business, trying to make other people look good. He was fantastic at that point.
Yeah, definitely. Savage was awesome. At that point, he was having better matches in WCW at that point than his late WWF matches, I think.
Yeah. Hey,
when
Matt.
When he wore that colorful fucking weird-ass outfit.
Oh, the with the macho midget?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Remember that?
Yeah, when they made Macho Man like a cartoon character for a while.
Well, everybody was a cartoon character in the mid-90s in WWF.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Matt, how would you introduce Bret if you were booking WCW at that point? Like, what's the first thing you do with him other than giving him to Zbyszko and Bischoff?
I think giving him to Zbyszko and Bischoff's a terrible idea. You know he's coming in. I mean, they did that whole dumb thing the night after the Montreal Screwjob where they all came out with fucking Canadian flags, the NWO. And they were like, fucking Bret Hart's joining the NWO, and didn't show up on TV for fucking a month after that. If you were to bring, you know, whatever, Sting beats Hogan at Starrcade, and then NWO fucking beats down Sting, and Bret Hart makes the save, I think that's a better intro than fucking him being the guest referee for Zbyszko versus Bischoff, and then interfering in the fucking, because he had his referee license, he decides he's going to come in and fucking call the fucking match that they build up for a year and a half.
That's some clever booking, though, by the way, if you think about it. They bring him in on something stupid, and then he's in the back, like, doing a fucking Savio Vega going, I got my license.
You know, that probably wouldn't have been so bad if they didn't botch the three count.
Exactly.
Like, no, listen. All right, here. How's this for an idea? He approaches, say, Bischoff or J.J. Dillon or whoever's in charge, Harvey Schiller, whoever the fucking head guy was. And he's like, listen, I'm here tonight. I know I can't wrestle. Let me get involved some way. He's like, you got a spot for me. He goes, you know what? I can get you to sign the paperwork. I can get you to be an official referee for the evening, and you could referee, I don't know, Zbyszko and Bischoff. And then, no, listen. Then at that point, he's like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Knowing in his mind that he could fucking be like fucking stick it to Hogan later if there's any shenanigans and fucking help Sting out, which would have fucking made sense had the three count not been fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day, I guess.
I don't know. I think it would have been so cool to have Sting and Bret Hart lead WCW against the NWO. I mean, think of the matches Bret Hart could have had against the members of NWO. At that point, fucking Savage would have been awesome. Scott Hall. Hogan Hart, just to see it. Henning was still in the NWO.
Yeah.
Dude, you could have had, like, Hall Nash versus Sting.
He had fucking awesome matches with Nash. when they were in WWF when he was Diesel.
Imagine if they had a Sting-Bret Hart tag team versus the Outsiders.
Yes.
They both do a double sharpshooter. Like, how cool of a visual would that have been?
Dude, they could have put him in War Games with, like, Benoit on their team.
I know. They could have done so much. So much.
I mean, there's so many, you know. I was thinking maybe I'd go WrestleMania 4 too, because I think that was a fucking shit show.
Would you have given it to DiBiase at WrestleMania 4? Ted DiBiase recently said that he's more known now for having the $1 million belt than he ever would have been having the WWF title.
I don't think I would have given it to DiBiase, but I definitely would have made. There were so many matchups that could have been made with the guys in that tournament.
Dude, I was actually pulling for Don Morocco, to be honest with you. It would have been so cool to have Morocco as the world champion.
With fucking Superstar Billy Graham and their fucking gay tie-dye t-shirts.
Dude, how cool would that have been? Superstar Billy Graham, the former champion, is managing Don Morocco.
How do you drop the ball in a Savage Steamboat rematch?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, they didn't want to do that for Savage. I mean, for Steamboat. He was on his way out.
And
they didn't want to throw him any bones or make him look good at all. They screwed him in that match. If you listen to the Midnight Jury, he was supposed to have his tights pulled, and it was supposed to be like a shenanigans three count. That's why when Steamboat kicks out, he's like, oh, my God, he had my tights. But who was it? Honky Tonk Man he wrestled?
No, it was Valentine.
Valentine. Valentine beat him, but was told by Vince in the back, you know, Steamboat, he's leaving. He thinks you're going to win by pulling the tights. Don't pull the tights. Just pin him clean. So Valentine does the roll through of the crossbody, pins him clean, and Steamboat's still complaining about pulled tights. So A, he looks like he lost clean, and B, he looks like a fucking crybaby.
Like a wah-wah.
So they screwed him out. But I think if Steamboat was going to stay, he would have made an awesome champion at the time.
If Steamboat had a crystal ball, he would have just done the job and left, knowing that he'd be back as a fucking dragon in like 4 years.
The lizard man.
Fucking asshole. I hated that fucking figure.
Yeah. How do you bring back Ricky Steamboat? How do you bring back Ricky Steamboat like that and do that?
Oh, they turned into such a fucking herb.
Ugh, what a waste.
Bring this kid to the fucking ring dressed as a dragon. Knock it off.
That was probably his idea, though.
Yeah, but he did it in fucking NWA and WCW, too. Like, we get it. You're a fucking Family Guy.
The only guy I know of to never turn heel. Ever.
Well, he may have been heel for a little bit in Ring of Honor. I don't really remember what the story
was.
Dude,
come on. Like, that's
fucking... I'm just saying.
Come on.
What about when he was Dick Blood? Do you think he was a heel then?
Dick Blood.
No, that was his fucking... That was his first wrestling name.
Yeah, because his name is Richard Blood.
No, Dick Blood. What a fucking awesome name.
That's a great name, Dick Blood.
It's a great t-shirt.
Do you guys want
Dick Blood?
Dick Blood. Yeah, that's available at shiningwizards.com.
Dick Blood.
I've got a list of some other ones that people put up on the Facebook and a couple other ones that I came up with but ultimately decided on against. Let me see. WrestleMania 4 was one mentioned. WrestleMania 7, the WCW invasion, which Eddie brought up. Morrison defeating CM Punk for the ECW title. Rebooking ECW from 1998 to the end. Rebooking the NXT invasion.
That's something else that they could have done a lot with that too. But then again, the guys that were talented in the NXT invasion are doing pretty damn well now.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, but wasn't the whole fucking gimmick after that Survivor Series match that Cena was supposed to be like fucking gone?
Yeah, and then he came back the next night.
Back on Raw the next night?
Yeah, fucked everything up.
Shenanigans.
Stupid.
If you look at every blown opportunity in the last 5 years in WWE, every single one revolves around Cena.
Of course it does.
Every single blown opportunity. It's like they have the balls to maybe pull the trigger on something new. Then they fucking pussy out and go, oh, no. Cena.
A couple other ones. Rock beating CM Punk at the Royal Rumble. Cena, Rock at all at WrestleMania. Never happened. They wanted that to never happen.
The second WrestleMania, I agree with completely.
The finger poke of doom. Somebody wanted the Benoit Sullivan feud to be more personal.
More personal?
Yeah, they said that was your boy Phil Rea. Turnbuckle throwbacks.
Now, Phil Rea's got his fucking head buried deep in the new Black Sabbath album. You don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
He's feeling evil, that's why.
He's probably got a fucking pentagram on his wife's fucking crotch.
Oh!
Fucking got a goat head on.
Dick Blood.
Exactly.
Let me see a couple more. The NWO split with the Wolfpack, the rebirth of ECW, Hogan goes NWO.
Hogan goes NWO. Wait, was good.
Book Hogan goes NWO?
Yeah, somebody thought that they would rebook that.
As what?
Aces and Eights.
Aces and Eights is
yeah, that's you just... rebook that, you put it in the fucking shredder.
Yeah, you don't book it at all. That's how you rebook Aces and Eights. No.
The New Blood versus the Millionaires Club. Shane McMahon leading ECW, which we talked about. Heath Slater going from a one-man band to a three-man band.
I agree. I think he was awesome as the one-man band.
Totally.
And look at all the work he did with all those legends, how solid he was. And he was starting to get over as that guy, and they could have done something with him, but now, no.
No, you know what he needed? Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Okay, other ones
like
I came up
hole
with.
In the head.
I think adding the Giant to the NWO was like the first bad sign of the NWO.
Not Virgil?
No, I think it was... No, because the Giant was the fourth guy, wasn't he?
Yes.
It
I
came after...
Yahtzee was the fourth guy.
Well, if you want to nitpick on that one, but they turned on the Giant, they beat the shit out of him, they steal his title, and then he joins them the next week.
Yeah, but then he fucking won World War III, and he turned on them like 2 months later.
Yeah. A couple other ones that I was brain farting on. Owen Hart gets the win over Bret in the steel cage and wins the title.
At SummerSlam?
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Billy Graham doesn't lose the belt to Bob Backlund, and they actually give him a more lengthy heel run with the title.
That would have been cool if it culminated with Billy Graham versus Hogan for the title.
Yeah, but that would have been a long stretch, dude. That would have been another 5 years. I don't know if they would have handled Billy Graham for 5 years.
Oh, that's true.
You know, I mean, even Flair had to lose every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know?
But Bruno didn't lose ever.
Dude, Bruno lost. Shut up.
He fucking was the champ for like 7 years.
Well, the dude was making money, dude. He was making money for those 7 years, and he was over, unlike the current champion.
True.
Let's see. The other one that I was thinking, Punk beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. What do you think of that one?
You know, that's interesting. I how much longer is Punk really going to be around, A, and B, how much more over can Punk be? I mean, he's already over. He was the champion for the longest time in the modern period. He didn't need to beat The Undertaker. I don't think that would have done anything for anybody. What would that wouldn't legitimize Punk as anything. I mean, Punk's been champion. He's as big as he'll ever be. He was as big as he'll ever be. That would have been a wasted loss for the Taker at WrestleMania. I think it needs to go to it needs to be someone that they haven't done much with yet, and that's the beginning of his journey. This is Punk's the end of his journey, so I don't think that would have really made any sense.
Okay, do you think it was a missed opportunity then not giving Randy Orton that victory years ago?
With the way they've booked Randy Orton since then, I'm glad they didn't give him the win.
Okay, but do you think if they gave him the win that he would be booked differently at this point?
No.
I still think he'd be a stale, boring Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You know, every time you watch, here's my thing. Every time you watch Randy Orton, you know the moves you're going to get. You're going to get the fucking quick slam. You're going to get the DDT on the ropes. You're going to get the fucking RKO. He's going to beat on the mat. It's just boring.
That's how they tell him to wrestle, though. You know that, right?
I mean, so boring.
I know.
Dude,
I know.
He doesn't need to be. He's probably got a fucking world of potential, and he just has been doing it for so long, and he's been on top for so long, he probably just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, but those are Randy's five moves of doom. Cena has the same five moves. Sheamus has the same five moves.
Bret Hart had them.
CM Punk has them. All your
Steve Austin,
guys,
The Rock. I mean, the main event guys all have that fucking thing.
Yeah, but those guys, before you mentioned, Sheamus, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, The Rock, those guys could have fucking amazing matches with anybody.
Very true.
Randy Orton
had more freedom.
Bret Hart had a fucking... He made Jerry Lawler look like $1 million in a fucking awful feud.
Yeah.
This is true.
He made fucking Jean-Pierre Lafitte look good.
Jean-Pierre.
A fucking wrestling pirate. Fucking pirate. So queer.
Hey, PWS has a wrestling pirate, and he's drunk and awesome.
Yeah, he's drunk and awesome. He's not fucking... He's not half of the Quebecers with a fucking patch on.
Quebecers.
Quebecers.
Oh, you know what? I hate to say this.
But you're going to say it anyway.
I'm going to say it anyway. Because I was, I don't know, for some ungodly reason, I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Quebecers.
And I put on fucking WWE On Demand. And I started watching an ECW pay-per-view. ECW was fucking bad. Like after Barely Legal, like, wow.
All right, you want to open this can of worms?
I think their best shit was on Hardcore TV on Public Access.
Like, what? Like, really, like, go back. Like, the first match is Johnny Swinger and Simon Diamond against York and Matthews. Dude. And before the match even starts, Dawn Marie comes out, and it's like, this match is for my services as a manager.
Dude.
And it took like 10 minutes.
They were losing people left and right. They couldn't afford to pay anybody anymore. It was...
I'm not even talking about, like, 2000. I'm talking about, like, 97, 98. Like, yeah. Taz Bigelow was a fucking sick feud. Bigelow and Shane Douglas was an awesome feud. Outside of that, it wasn't really anything special. RVD and Jerry Lynn.
They were losing guys, dude.
I understand that, but there were so many... They just could have done something better, like...
And RVD got hurt in the middle of his fucking, like, two-year run.
I understand, but as... That was happening. There, Rhino was being built as a fucking machine.
Yeah.
Justin Credible was on the rise. Lance Storm was doing great. Like, they had the guys. Like, everybody, like, every show, every pay-per-view didn't need the fucking New Jack match. Like, I don't want to see fucking Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten. That's just fucking, I get it. But it's just overkill.
I understand, but dude,
like,
they...
Going back now, it's like, wow, ECW was fucking bad.
Yeah, well, they had to start producing more pay-per-views because they took that plunge. They had to start making the product look nicer because they were going on national TV now. Like, there was so much shit they had to change, and it just took them out of what their element was. It was gritty, yeah. It was dirty, and it was just guys beating the piss out of each other.
But you know what? Like, things that didn't make sense, like Jake the Snake Roberts at fucking Hardcore Heaven.
Yeah, well.
Was fucking awful. Dusty Rhodes and Steve Corino. Steve Corino's awesome. But I just think, like, it didn't fit.
Steve Corino's got tiny nipples.
Fucking Sid? Sid being on a pay-per-view? Oh, God.
Sid was around for a little bit with the Judge Jeff Jones or whatever his name was.
Yeah, and then softball season started.
Yeah,
and then he lost his fucking wallet at the Kmart or whatever, at the deli.
And then he broke his leg.
Just like,
then the Warlord came in.
Ugh.
Do you think you could stop Sid by kicking his leg out under his leg?
That's just like... Like, I was thinking about it today. Like, I was such, like, an ECW mark.
Yeah, like, you were.
We all were. Because it was violent. We liked blood. We were fucking teenagers.
No, Matt dressed like Sabu.
Yeah.
Like, Matt went to weddings with no shirt on and a headband.
So I would have the fucking scars on my chest.
You know. That's dedication.
Yeah.
Or no, that's not so funny.
So, we got anything else left? I'm getting kind of tired.
I got plugs.
Plug away.
Huh?
Do it up.
Phil Reyes got his one-year anniversary thing coming up soon, but don't forget to miss him. Check him out, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Will and Phil's Awful Podcast, and the Man Cave Radio Show. Handsome Dan Lopez is still writing somewhere, Handsome Dan's Last Word. I think he's actually coming back to the site a little bit. He seems to be a little more animated lately. Good for him.
He turned away from wrestling, it seems, for a while.
Yeah, but he's coming back. He's been chatting it up quite a bit lately. I think he's like all of us. He looks for the nostalgia when there's nothing else to go on, you know?
Yeah.
The Midnight Jury, the one thing I do want to mention, when you go to the Facebook page, make sure you like those guys. The more likes they get, I don't know, there's something that they could do polling, and polling will help them find out what you like so they can talk about it on their show. So make sure you like them on Facebook. They're cool guys, like we said. Check them out. Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment, CWERadio.com. We're on their network. They got a bunch of great shows on there. Check them out. And Dave Megapowers' chilling documentary series, Hitting Rock Bottom. That's on YouTube. Check that out as well. I'm Tony. There's Eddie. There's Matt. We're on Skype. We brought you the goods tonight. Thanks for listening, and suck a dick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cocksuckers.
Well, if they're cocksuckers, they'd be sucking a dick, right?
Not everybody is always if you're a cocksucker, doesn't mean there's always a dick in your mouth.
No,
are we still recording? There's one more thing I gotta say before we go.
I figured cocksucking sparked his memory.
Yeah, no, there's one. It's very, very, very important.
Uh-oh.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dick blood.
Good night, everybody.
I hate you, Overy Larry.
Call me Tickle.
I like you, Matt. You're my friend. Follow me on Facebook.
Please don't follow him on Facebook.
Facebook.com/overweightlarry.
We didn't even do fucking pay-per-view predictions.
Hey, I know. I got a prediction.
I got one. It's going to suck.
Hey, you stole my line, motherfucker.
Good night, everybody.
Later.
About 3 stages of hell.